When Ding and Juno arrived, we sat around the campfire eating meals from metal plates Cute brought. The main dish consisted of a nice vegetable stew made with tiny chunks of meat. An engraving with a vine exploiting a variety of fruits and vegetables encircled the rim. I thought Juno looked charming, sipping away from her miniature bowl. Cute's underbite did not seem to get in the way. The lamp would not leave my thoughts. For me to crawl toward the mountains out of that foray did not sound possible with this strange lamp. Weightless, despite the metals forming it. Ding's ruddy face glared at me, sizing me up. Examining every aspect of my physique, I found myself doing the same. Our interests became locked, as if the stare down signified the beginning of a battle of wills. This made me sick, but I dared not keep my sights off his. I had hoped Cute would tell us to stop this nonsense, but the plant's famished took precedence.
"I am the leader," Ding stated with a disquieting tone.
Cute glanced from his munching. Ding and I stayed locked in our battle of stares. I felt very uncomfortable. A strain struck me. I wanted to discontinue this ridiculous affair so bad, but I could not. The dwarven thief seemed angrier by my act of resistance.
"I am the leader."
He was sterner. Juno flew to my protection.
"Leave him alone, Ding. If anyone is going to head this party, in my opinion, which supersedes everyone's, I choose the elf."
"Eagle."
"Eagle? Is that your name? What a cute name. You see, even his cute name makes him a leader. He is named after a majestic bird, and your name reminds me of an idiot."
"I would not mind the general being our leader, Flower."
"I said, I am the leader."
In great anger, Ding grabbed his axe lying next to him and leapt at me. I rolled away from the onslaught, leaving Ding crashing to my side, pulling Wellburn out of my scabbard.
"Ding!"
Juno screamed.
"Let them be, Flower. I have always wanted to see our stalwart companion get taught a lesson."
"You forget, Methalo. I practice magic. I'm the top practitioner of my kind."
Rondo's smugness would not deter the elven royalty.
"You are very resourceful, Rondo, but we will not lose so easily."
"Quickly, the goblets," Methalo commanded.
"Thou will be destroyed, Methalo."
From nowhere, the portent revealed itself via an abysmal, paradoxical voice ricocheting from the walls. Methalo could not place the hollowed sound, but he feared the declaration's effect. A primordial gloom so despairing shredded through the elven king like a smouldering hurricane with no wind. But he persevered. Somehow, the power augmenting the voice was being restrained. A senseless discomfort sliced through and around Methalo's left upper torso. The Lorelian king relinquished. Several glass goblets dashed past him, cast by Rolando's telekinesis, as Sylvia hurried past, wielding two splintered ones.
"Rolando, before Werkel acts,"
Sylvia, a precognitive, warned. Werkel took a stubby step forward, as she predicted. With a wave of a hand, Prince Rolando's telekinetic vibration casted the wobbly advisor against a wall, incapacitating Werkel. Emperor Rondo had already gone into action himself. A bluish-yellow glow sputtered from his rested palms. The flying goblets crashed upon each other in mid-flight, transforming into a storm of broken glass amongst the selfsame sputtering. A strange glow emanated about the Emperor's hands as he erected from his throne upon the expansive dais. An identical glow radiated about the lucent storm. Butterflies appeared in place of the glass. The three vacant thrones faded away. With a telekinetic swoop above the fray, the tenacious Prince Rolando charged in with splintered goblets in both hands.
Rolando, do not!
Sylvia endeavoured to presage. Too late. The Emperor had vanished into a mist the prince flew through. Rolando crashed into the gilded throne. A telekinetic skin shield buffered his plunge. The Lorelian prince jumped up, unfazed upon the dais, ready to strike with one of the goblets when he felt slimy scales writhing upon his arm. The goblet had transmuted into a viper. The male, pretty big for such short stature and paler than most, imparted a stern look on his face with permanence. His bald head overshadowed a tempest within deep-set pupils. His voice, a rumbling,
"Please excuse us for the interruption, Eagle General. I am Blasmal, and this is Mate Mai, Rungna Olivia. I am sure you know us as the leaders of the Protectors, Elven, who guard Kuhn. We have taught you some skills, combat, when you were a blood child, and handed the reins to the warrior's other when you got older. Your blood father, Skull, and I were close, quite. You come to us and relay such plight great you have experienced. I am sorry to say, that is not proof enough for us to believe."
Rungna Olivia exhibited her untamed hair and shaggy arms.
"We have never trusted man, but forces our will not be permitted to do anything until we do know evil has havoced Zyandara."
Wild animals in a scuffle, the root of her natural voice. "I do not understand, Rungna Olivia."
"Please, call me Rungna. You see, Eagle, Quirm has always been non-intrusive with the races here at Kuhn, despite reservations our. It would be nonsense to say Rondo Emperor is behind these attacks, so-called. These attacks seem unreal, so."
"General, I do not mean to be rude, but what are they saying?"
"Not now, cute.
Cute caught me a little off guard. Juna must have told him about my telepathy. Juna was not as polite."
"What the interim are you saying?"
Sven the genie. Breathtaking, yet she shouldered certain sadness that drew me to her. Cute edged closer with a titillated Juna following.
"Why, it's a genie."
"I am he who rubbed the jewels, great genie. What is your name, and can you help us get to the forest of Kuhn sooner?" I stated.
"I am the world of men. My name is Sven. I am truly sorry, master. At this place I cannot help thee travel faster. But once thee reaches the forest, it is the beginning of the test."
Her dress's vacuous bodice displayed the initial runes fluxed within, accompanied by more runes, lacking in luster.